Okay. First of all, I'd like to thank the organizer for inviting me to this great event, so from which I learned a lot. And it's also a good opportunity to see so many friends, old and new, and make new friends. Okay, so this talk is based on a joint work with my former PhD student, who is now a postdoc at Penn State University. Before I talk, so I have to admit that based on Dr. Neil Ferguson's criteria, this is definitely not a best model, because the best model should be rooted in data, but this is not rooted in data. So let me start with okay, as most talk comments, the whole thing should fall into several parts. And the first part, I'm going to give some introduction and telling the motivation. And the second part is, okay, based on that motivation, and we can incorporate those main factors that we are interested in and into the model, and we got the so-called new model, so agree or not, so, but we call it a new model. And then once you have a model, we have to justify the model in a biological sense, so we call it a well-postedness. And then we analyze the model to obtain some information about the dynamics of the model, which describe the disease dynamics. Okay, for that purpose, we distinguish two cases. The one is the irreducible case, which means all because we consider the patch model, so all patches are connected in the irreducible case sense. Okay, which means you cannot further divide the whole environment into two sub system environment, okay, and then the second case is a reducible case. Reducible case, we don't have a strong mathematical theory to support, so confine ourselves to a very special case, and which is case of n equal to 2. Okay, so because most of the audience are from mathematical biology and background. So when we are trying to get a model to describe the disease dynamics, we need a basic demographic population model. And so a basic demographic for homogeneous population, so this is a general form. You have a recruitment. I don't call it a birth. I call it general recruitment term, which could include birth and migration, those kind of things. And the second one accounts for death. Okay. And so before ideas come in, we assume the population can support a stable and population, you may call capacity, right? So in mathematical terminology, so the system will have a positive equilibrium, which is globally asymptotically stable. So for simplicity, because our concern in this project is not the demographic structure and the recruitment, what birth function we should use, those kind of things. So we are focused on very, very simple, we adopt a very simple demographic model, which is this one. And in that case, we have a positive equilibrium, which is a global asymptotically stable. And we move on. So assume that disease comes into the population. And a very traditional model is, okay, if we ignore the latency, okay, and still consider a homogeneous population, and the total population is divided into subpopulations, okay? And everybody knows what S is, what I is. So this is the equation, a typical SIR model, okay? But everybody knows that the many diseases, they do have latency, influenza and even HIV, okay, infectious disease, they have latency. So when you incorporate, if we incorporate this latency into model, so we have to introduce a new class, which is called, some people call explosive class E, we are using L, okay, they mean the same thing. And in terms of latency, and then in general, it differs from individual to individual. For some people, it takes 3 to 4 days and to become infectious from being infected. Okay, and for the others, it may take longer. Some people never become infectious. Okay, So for that proposal, we can introduce such a probability function, okay, accounting for the probability that an exposed or infected individual, okay, still remains in the latent or exposure class t times unit after being infected. So using this p function, and then the total population of latent class can be expressed by this formula. I learned this from Pauling. So a few years ago, we were working on that Hapis model, and then we worked with Lin Wang, another model. So for a special choice of this, this is a probability function for the exponential decay function, okay? And then really the model reduces to such ODE system. Now, instead of three-dimensional, we have a four-dimensional ODE system, okay? Another special choice for this P function is the step function, accounting for the situations where everybody becomes infectious after tau time unit. But this is definitely not the real situation, but it could be used as a very good approximation for many diseases in which the latency is very, very slightly compared to the infection age. Some diseases are just very, okay, within 1 or 2 days, okay, while the infection age could be weeks, months, or this, okay. So yeah, this is just an approximation. In that sense, this is how could be as a, considered as an approximation of the mean latency. For this special choice, if we differential that the L variable and plug in this, of course, the integral is in the sense of Riemann stages, okay? And then the disease dynamics is governed by this two systems, okay? Number one, so for tau, the equation is 4.1 is ODE. It governs the dynamic disease dynamics for T between 0 and tau. When for T larger than tau, so the disease dynamics is governed by this system of delayed differential equation. So as you can imagine, starting from if you're given some initial value, you can solve this ODE system to get a solution within this interval, and using the solution, okay, on that interval as the initial functions, you can solve this system of delayed differential equation, okay. So in terms of the existence and uniqueness, there's no problem for this system, okay, although the system is split into two. Okay, and many people know, so for such a SIR model, so because the R is, okay, is decoupled from S and I equation, usually we just need to consider the first two variables, S and I. Okay. So that's a situation where if we want to consider latency. And what about the spatial heterogeneity? So this is a place I think it fits when James asked me to give a talk. I thought, would this be a suitable topic? And James confirmed, yes, it fits the topic. So the theme of this 2 weeks. So depends on what is the spatial heterogeneity we like to consider. If you want to consider discrete spatial heterogeneity, okay, a very natural choice is a patch model, okay. Here, a patch could be a city, could be a town, could be a country, depending on what level you would like to consider. For that choice, there's many works. Okay, I just mentioned a few of them. Then Junior, Anino, and Ponin is here, and Wendy Wang from China, and Xiao Chang Zhao, my former colleagues are here. So they did quite a bit of work on patch models. If you consider continuous spatial heterogeneity, so you need a reaction diffusion equation. Okay, so one chapter of my Jin Li's PhD thesis deals with this type of model, reaction diffusion model. Okay, so but here we focus on the first choice, discrete. Okay, now what about we incorporate both latency and spatial heterogeneity into the model? Okay. I just mentioned this factor before, so okay. For simplicity, we consider a special case and consider disease with discrete latency, which I explained can be considered as an approximation for some disease whose latency varies very slightly. And we're going to consider the special discrete situation, okay? And then we consider patch model. And for this purpose, we need to incorporate dispersal between patches, let me say between cities, when people travel from the city to that, okay? And because we have two new factors here, latency and the dispersal, okay? And it's a common sense is okay. A person infected in Vancouver and will become infectious anywhere if he keeps traveling. It could be in 7 days later. He could be in Toronto. He could be in London. It could be in Germany anywhere. So I call this phenomenon a non-local infection, which means we measure the rate. The increased rate of the infectious individuals, so you have to consider the infections from everywhere, okay, in them. So, and there's a non-local infection here, which is caused by latency and the mobility of the individuals during latency. But how to incorporate this two factor into model in such a setting up, discrete, which is patch environment, okay. So what we're going to do is we use the concept of infection age, which has been mentioned by many people, and Alder Dickman's lecture last week also mentioned this. Okay, and many people this is not new to many people. Okay, using infection age. How? Okay. So this brings us to the second part. So we consider general end patches. As I mentioned, it could be cities. And so now each patch has the population. Each patch again is divided into three subclasses, SIR, and the subindex I just simply tells which patch you are talking about. Okay, so we introduce at latency. This is L, which is the density. Here the density is with respect to infection age. Okay. This is L small l sub I, so the density of this individuals in patch I with the infection age A. Okay. And this is a typical, many people have seen this before, and in Ole Dickman's talk. And so this is a typical, a very standard PDE, first order PDE, explaining the evolution of the disease. Okay. This L unknown function. With respect to time t, with respect to infection age a, so here by putting a variable by putting constant one here, so we are measuring the infection age and the time variables on the same scale. So and by the meaning of this L, so the total population in the infectious individual class, it's just an accumulation, accumulation summing up all those individuals with infection age larger than tau, here you can replace this infinity by any at the maximum infection age. But with our loss of generality, we just put an infinity here. You can replace it by any capital T, which accounts for the maximum infection age. Okay. So this gives the total population of infectious individual. Okay. And for simplicity, as many people mentioned, there's always a balance between complexity and mathematical attractability. So, for simplicity, we adopt such. We assume that the death rate and the dispersal rate in each stage. Latent period and infection period. Okay, we assume those are constant. So, otherwise we're going to deal with integral of integral of integral. So this that will make things more complicated. So, and the two basic facts about this setting up is the following, okay? An Li at a T at age zero. What is age zero? Which is a new infection. So which is the result here adopted mass action infection mechanism. Of course, I heard a lot of debate about this. You should use a standard instance. That's why I was asking Carl the difference between mass action and standard instance or other instance, So cost token clearly tells us this is homogeneous of degree 2. The other one is homogeneous of degree 1. So mathematically, that's the difference. And infinity. So this is still a very natural assumption. Okay, nobody can survive to infinity. Okay, so of course. And then if differential that I variable, the capital I with respect to time variable T and using such and this, then we can get this formula. So here in this formula, so everything is in terms of I except this one. We still need to bother this L, the little L, but it's evaluated T and at the age tau, and that term simply account for the rate of the okay of gaining infectious individuals in patch I, okay, at time T. Now, if we can determine this, we can express this term in terms of I as well, so then, or even S, and then we can kick out this L and just simply focus on S and I variables. So, okay, and so how to determine this L, little L, I, little, okay? So we apply the very typical and the standard method of characteristic method. So, so for T larger than tau, okay, we can determine this. Okay, and we're going to skip the details. So just tell you, so using this method, we can determine the term. See, so if we plug in this into here, so everything is expressed in terms of I, S. Okay, so we can kick out I. So here we have a B. What is this Bij? Bij. Bij, you may count as, it's determined by this, okay, it's by the entries of this exponential matrix, okay. And of course, when tau is larger, when t is less, smaller than tau, this is zero. So that gives us a new model, okay, new model. I'm going to explain this Bij, okay, in more detail for the case, for the special case, and n equal to 2. So that will make things much simpler. So this is a system. Again, the system, the disease dynamics is governed, okay, by this system equation at the ODE, the system of delay equation. But now, compared to the previous one, where we did not consider the special heterogeneity, but here we have this term which accounts for non-local infection, okay, non-local infection. To explain this term, I'm going to have to leave it for later. So we'll consider two case n equal to 2 case. And as we expected, okay? Oh, actually, I put some word here explaining. Okay, so really this Bij explains, accounts for the probability that an individual infected in patch I, patch J, tau time units ago is now at time T in patch I, the probability, okay? And that will be, there's a two aspect. First of all, is the individual has to survive the exposed latent period. Number two, it has to stay in that in the eye patch, because people are moving around. So if there's a probability that he may have moved to other places, although he can survive the latent period, there's no guarantee he will stay here. Okay. So, and because of the biology meaning, okay, we should expect that this should be something between zero and one. So yes, we can prove this mathematically. That's not a big interest here. And as I promised, also for the special case and equal to two, this may give you some clear ideas what this Bij is, okay? So here, so latent, okay, infection, yes, it happens within patch I, but after tau time units, so the individual may still remain in patch I, it becomes infectious, contribute to the infectious classes to in patch I. It may also, with some certain probability, move to patch 2, okay, which will make contribution to the infectious class in patch 2. And asymmetrically, you can expand the other channels. Okay. So this is a picture. Okay. And now, if for special choice of this death rate and this data. Okay, so then we actually can compute this Bij. Okay, so you can see it consists of. Okay, this is a survive. Okay, this account for a probability that an individual can survive the latent period. And the second part explains the probability that a survivor individual still remains in patch one. The complement part proportion goes to patch two. So this is a contributing non-local infection. Okay, infecting patch one, so with this probability it survives the latent period. With this probability it goes to patch two. Okay, and similarly you can explain this diagonal component. So. Especially this, I would call this alpha ij, well, this is I here, okay. This rij definitely measures the mobility of the latent period individual, okay. So, for this special choice, the model is given by this one. Of course, ignore the ODE part, but just focus on the DDE part, okay. As I mentioned, the well-postedness in the biological sense of we start with some non-negative initial value, the solution should remain non-negative, and the solution should remain bounded. Otherwise, so it makes no sense. Okay, because we are just interested in long-term disease dynamics, so we ignore that the finite interval from 0 to tau, we just focus on the DDE part. Okay, DDE part. Because for any, well, you just treat the solution to the ODE as an initial function to the DDE, so really you don't. So you don't have to worry about okay, that one. So we just need to consider the system of delayed differential equations, which is numbered 8. Okay. When it comes to disease dynamics, as I mentioned, we divide into two subcases. Number one is the irreducible case with general N. So which means we assume all those travel matrices, so you can all dispersion matrices as irreducible, and that's a disease equilibrium, the free equilibrium. Okay, using the some basic, very standard theory from a non-negative or positive matrix, we can show that that is a unique disease free equilibrium. And when it comes to the stability of the disease free equilibrium, we follow the. Somebody mentioned the recipe and James and Pauline's recipe. So I can, well, this is different. This is a system of delay equation, but so the same idea. So we got this F matrix, this is a V matrix. And again, so using the perturbation argument, we can show this spectrum of this matrix that really gives the basic reproduction number, okay? Which plays a role of threshold role. Okay, when this is less than one, this is a disease free equilibrium is globally asymptotic stable. When it's the largest one, the disease free equilibrium becomes unstable. And what happens when unstable? I only have 5 minutes or so. So endemic equilibrium. So and we use the approach used by the persistence theory, perturbation theory, okay, developed by Host Timmer and Xiao Chan and Hirsch, okay, they used it. Okay. So we can prove that when this is larger than one, and then the disease will persist in the population globally, every patch, okay, you can see, okay. And using the abstract theory, and then this will guarantee the existence of at least one positive equilibrium, which is this endemic equilibrium. Interior endemic equilibrium. Okay, so and the special case when n is equal to 2, we would like to consider reducible case. For general case, because of irreducibility, plays a crucial role in using when applying this theory. Okay, but when in the lack of irreducibility, so we cannot do too much. So we have to reduce and we confine ourselves to such a special case n equal to 2. For that case, we can do a little bit more. Okay, we can first of all we can solve two. Okay, regardless that matrix is free or is irreducible or not, for case n equal to 2, we can always solve that disease free equilibrium. Okay, and this is the component S component for the disease free equilibrium. And we can also compute as a F and a V matrix. Okay. So with the, so for the convenience of a comparison, we first introduce some quantities. Okay. Assuming in the case of that two patches are fully disconnected, and that the system split into two separate systems. Okay, they are decoupled. So, and then for patch one, the disease dynamics is governed by this equation, this system of equation. For patch two, is governed by this system of delay differential equation. And their dynamics have been discussed, and the result can be found from Pierre's paper with Pony and Lin Wang. So, and in our early work, so this two are not okay. Just add zero. That this zero simply tells us in the case of that the two patches are fully disconnected. So, this is the result. This is we got this threshold result. Okay, which is okay. And now, assume the patches are connected somehow. Okay. Then we would like to consider the impact of travel. So here is the connection achieved by traveling. Okay, you running a bus, running an air flight between the cities. Okay, you can establish such a connection. So anyway, so the first subcase we like to look at is the case where only separate individuals are allowed to travel between the cities, between the patches. Okay. By doing so, the infection-related travel rates are all assumed to zero. In that case, the model can be simplified. Actually, many of those BIJs can be computed. Okay, we have expression for those BIJs, and that enables us to do a little bit more. Okay, and so remember this one: we have that zero up zero here to account for the situation where the two patches are disconnected, but now with patches that connect, so we have something similar to that. Okay, but now this is a equilibrium. Okay, and we have this epsilon here. So the conclusions are when this disease-free equilibrium is asymptotically stable, if this is less than one, it's unstable. If this is larger than one, so this plays a role of threshold, which is later we're going to explain. This gives the basically production number. What happens when this is larger than one and we have boundary equilibrium, okay, which we will not be able to observe for the case where the travel matrix are irreducible. Because of reducibility in this case, travel and boundary equilibrium is possible. What is the biological implication for this boundary equilibrium? Which simply means that the disease can establish in this patch but not the other one. Okay, that's part biologically reasonable because we are allowing, okay, we are allowing the travel. Okay, just the disease-free equilibrium. The infectious individuals are not allowed to travel. Okay, and irreducibility enables us to observe this existence of a boundary equilibrium. Okay, and actually we can solve this. Okay, to get this boundary equilibrium, And the question is, okay, in addition to this boundary equilibrium, which explains the scenario that the disease can establish in one patch but not the other, is it possible that disease can establish in on both? On both patches. So, for that purpose, we can solve, okay, because it's only two days. Oh. So, the chair has been reminding me, so I have to be quick. So, yes, it is possible. We have some result. I'm going to skip, okay, this table simply explains the situation well, in which case the boundary equilibrium will be stable, explaining the situation where the disease can establish in this patch but not the other one, in what case the disease can establish in both patches. Okay, and from this result, we can explore the impact of this travel, this coefficient D, capital Dij. Okay, we found that, okay, the travel can help disease establish in this patch but not the other. it can also help establishing both patches. Okay, so we have various formula to explain this phenomenon. Okay, another subcase is that we allow travel by infected individuals for that purpose, which we adopt asymmetric situations, right? Which an individual can allow to travel from one patch to the other, but not vice versa. So in that case, we also observe new phenomena. So, but anyway, so I don't think I should take my colleague, my former colleague Xiao Chang's time, so I have to finish here very quickly.
Well,
anyway, so for those who are interested, you can talk to me after the talk. So before I finish, I'd like to thank the support from NSEC, MITEX, and the Premier Award of Ontario, and also, most important, is thank you for all your attention. So.